You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.
Welcome back to The Wire. Finally on today's show, US President Donald Trump is threatening to pull the United States out of the Paris Climate Agreement. Reports are suggesting Trump has told multiple sources that he plans to leave the landmark agreement, although the man himself says he will make a decision on America's future involvement later this week. During the election campaign, Trump made it clear that he favoured withdrawal, while he has also labelled man-made climate change a hoax. The Paris Agreement is a multilateral agreement adopted in December 2015 and is ratified by 147 countries that aims to hold the increase in global temperature to below 2 degrees and reduce overall greenhouse gas emissions. The agreement is the world's first comprehensive climate agreement. To talk the possibility of America withdrawing and the consequences of such a move for addressing climate change, earlier I spoke to environmental politics lecturer at the University of Auckland, Julie MacArthur, and I began by asking her if we should be worried by Trump's threat.
I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, actually. I think at a broader level, we should be very concerned because obviously having a country that's responsible for around 16% of global CO2 emissions pull out of an agreement that is focused on tracking and reducing those emissions, that's very significant. So having such a major player on the polluting side of things actually pulling out is significant. However, at the same time, a number of commentators have also suggested that the role that the United States has been playing in these agreements in the past has been to slow down progress, actually, and taking really significant action, and as a bit of a spoiler. And the other point I would actually mention is that sub-state actors in the United States are actually still taking significant action, like California, for example. So while it is really significant, it's certainly not the death, let's say, of significant climate action by other actors.
Because the US has never really been 100% committed to multilateral approaches to addressing climate change, have they?
No, certainly not. But again, as I said, the sub-state actors like California have absolutely been leading in this area. So yeah, as I was saying, there's been a bit of a spoiler role being played by the United States. But we need them to take action. We need them to take action for a range of reasons. One of them is because one of the big focuses of the Paris Agreement was on loss and damage and getting developed countries in particular to really help aid the transitions in poorer countries. So for a very wealthy country like the United States with the technical and financial know-how to do a lot more on climate in terms of electrification and renewable energy and development of new technologies, to have them back off is, I think, one of the commentators in the news this week with Trump planning on pulling back was talking about it as a betrayal of international commitments and an abdication of American leadership. So the language from global partners on this is actually very strong. The signaling is that this is a really bad look for the United States, but also for a wealthy country like this to back off on their moral commitments to lead is really significant.
With Trump's election, has the US administration's attitude to climate change and addressing it gotten worse compared with, say, the Obama administration?
Oh, absolutely, without a question. I mean, for example, one of the ways we see this is how Scott Pruitt, who's a noted climate change skeptic, so he doesn't believe the science, basically, that humans are causing temperatures to increase, that CO2 emissions are behind this, and that then we need policy action to reduce this. He was confirmed as the head of the Environmental Protection Agency. Another way we see this significant kind of climate skepticism and heel dragging or outright actually reversals of some of the Obama climate emissions or policies was that the Environmental Protection Agency's budget was recently cut by over 30%. So there's significantly been rollbacks on climate policy action at the national level in the U.S. since Trump's been elected. It's been very significant and very clear.
Do you have any confidence that under this administration they could come up with some good policies to address climate change?
Huh, that's an interesting question. I don't, to be perfect. I mean, there are lots of people working within the U.S. administration that care quite deeply about these issues, but the leadership so far has been signaling very clearly that climate change is not a major issue they're interested in tackling, that President Trump hasn't been signaling that this is important to him at all, and in fact he's very willing to come out against the ideas and the interests of many of his negotiating partners. So his European colleagues at the G7 meetings have been very clear about how they would like this to move forward. They would like the United States to be part of this, and he doesn't seem to be playing ball, basically. So that is, I think that's really significant for progress in this area of the United States. But again, I just want to come back to this. The sub-state action is really fascinating. So the leaders of Canada and Mexico were recently in California, and California has almost in some ways taken a leadership for the United States in negotiating with international actors to try to push back against the Trump administration's attacks on things like fuel emission standards and things like that, the policy actions that help to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And that's really a fascinating place to be watching in the future.
Is there any possibility other countries could move on collectively without the United States and this agreement, or is U.S. involvement essential?
No, absolutely. So the Paris Agreement, it does not, so it came into force last November, and 147 parties have already ratified it. Mm-hmm. And even if the United States pulls out, the Paris Agreement continues. So, for example, we have leading European countries in Canada, and I wouldn't call New Zealand necessarily a leader in this area, but other countries are still going to be part of this agreement, which includes the technology transfers, the contributions to the Green Climate Fund, trying to meet their own nationally determined commitments. So there's certainly still going to be significant international action on this. It's just the commitment at the national level from the United States will certainly suffer, and also the role of the United States as a player in this area. I mean, even the head of, I believe it was Shell Oil, is in favor of the United States staying in this so they have a seat at the table and can shape the agreement. I mean, that's interesting for a number of reasons, but the fact that the U.S. may pull out under President Trump does not sink the agreement. The agreement and the frameworks that they're developing still will continue to exist, just not with this major player.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the head of Shell, because it's also sort of heads of major oil firms such as Chevron and Exxon have also backed this deal. So is this quite embarrassing for Donald Trump?
He doesn't seem to embarrass easily. I mean, he doesn't seem to be very sensitive about things like the size of his hands and whatnot. But I don't see him being shaped or shifted, basically, by the opinions of the colleagues in the G7. I mean, there's a lot of commentary right now coming out talking about how it's basically the G1, the fairly isolated and isolating itself, United States, and then there's the G6, who are cooperating on all sorts of other issues. So I don't think the embarrassment is necessarily going to be a major element. I think Trump has a lot of support by climate skeptics, and I do think that he is significantly swayed by that. We'll see what happens, but behind the scenes, it seems fairly clear from publications like The Hill and whatnot that he is planning on withdrawing and not honoring the pledges that were made by the administration before. There have been some good analyses, actually. There was one by Bodansky and Sandra Day O'Connor talking about the legalities of pulling out, and there are a number of mechanisms to do so. So I think this is a space to watch, but they certainly can, and it would not sink the agreement, but it would be a significant diplomatic abdication of responsibility, that's for sure.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.